What's happening, everybody? Locked On 49ers hype session. The playoffs begin now, week 18, 49ers, Rams. We've got our predictions previewing this week 18 matchup, and we'll get into the chat. Let's get hyped. This is a hype session for week 18 regular season finale for those 49ers right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen every day here on Locked On 49ers. And if you're on the live stream with us, thanks for making us your last listen of your evening as we get a little bit loose here. Last podcast of the regular season before we get to our rapid react post game pod after Sunday's game. So I think we need to get hyped here in the chat, and we are going to get deep into the chat in this one. How y'all feeling out there? Appreciate everybody listening on the audio podcasts on your morning commute, maybe to work Friday morning. We're going to make our predictions today. The latest injury report for the 49ers quarterback watch, Croc, is where we begin, as we always do here. What are your thoughts after a few more sleeps, after seeing Jimmy Garoppolo with another practice under his belt? Where are you at with the quarterback thing? Who do you want? Who do you think is going to be out there throwing the ball for the 49ers Sunday?
I'm right where I was the last episode. And once I saw him throw the ball a couple of times, I said, he's playing. You know, Kyle Shanahan wants him to play, and understandably so. You know, you have a veteran. There's less unknown. There's less that you can throw at him that he hasn't seen that's going to surprise him in the heat of the moment, especially in one game playing. Kyle wants him to play. I get it. I understand it. And I'm assuming that he is going to be the guy under center come kickoff time.
I think it's going to be both. The more I think about it, I think both quarterbacks are going to play in this one. I think it's the way I think Kyle Shanahan will use it to his advantage, maybe knowing that that he's had the opportunity to game plan for Trey Lance twice now, 2 weeks in a row. And it's not going to be as difficult for him to just throw in a package now because he's got stuff. He's got stuff ready. He's got stuff he didn't use last week. He's got stuff he's working on this week as they split reps.
I have some pushback, but
it's all hands on deck. Like, you want to put your best 11 out there, and at this point, Trey Lance healthy has to be one of your best 11 in certain situations at the very least, right?
So my pushback is, I think the way Kyle Shanahan sees his offense being ran, he views Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance typically the same. Like, now obviously Trey Lance has things that you can expand on, but I think that he wants to expand on those within the confines with whatever game plan he puts out there. But I don't think he views Trey Lance as like a Lamar Jackson type runner. So I don't think he's going to be like, all right, let's throw him in so he can run around or whatever. When he puts him in there, he wants him to do the same things that Jimmy can do, but kind of expand on that. So even if you look at the last game plan against the Houston Texans, there weren't a whole lot of designed runs for Trey Lance. What was the biggest difference? Well, being able to throw outside the numbers a lot more and everything, not having to be quick timing slants, even though he called those plays as well. So I don't really see them utilizing two quarterbacks, not to the extent that maybe most people might be thinking.
Shout out to Jason Aponte showing up in the chat. Hey, if you want to jump on the pod with us tonight, we're here. We're going to be going for a little while here. So you let us know and we'll give you the link. We can go add some folks to this pod for sure. What about not just the running element for Trey Lance though, Croc? What about the deep passing element? Big plays, throws that Jimmy just flat out can't make, even when his thumb's 100%. If Jimmy's hampered at all, which he's going to be if he plays, what about Trey Lance trots onto the field? The Rams defense thinks, okay, here comes a run. You go play action, boom, big throw over the top. Like that should not be out of the question to utilize Trey Lance in that way, because he can make throws that Jimmy Garoppolo can't, and big plays will be needed Sunday.
I think the biggest difference, right, is the way that Trey Lance sees the field. You know, there are a lot of the quick passes, and Trey Lance is like, nah, I'm buying past this wide open guy for a 4-yard gain. I'm throwing it past the sticks. I'm picking up 15 yards. I'm throwing strikes. And he's definitely more willing to do those things. But when you talk about, you know, the play action and the shot plays, I don't think that there's as big a difference between the shot plays that he dials up for Trey Lance as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they are similar as far as the shot plays. Now, the difference is, you know, we watched Trey Lance throw a go route to Brandon Ayuk right before the half, and it was really perfectly placed. We don't see those type of throws from Jimmy Garoppolo, the ones that aren't schemed up shot plays. So he brings that element, but again, it's still within the confines of a play call. I just think Jimmy Garoppolo bypasses attempting those type of passes. So again, that's why I don't think we're going to see Trey Lance, because I think he wants him to have that same element as Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's going to be interesting. Could be just Trey Lance's show on Sunday. It could be just Jimmy Garoppolo's show. I think they're both going to play. I would put money, and I don't know if there's a bet online. We'll get to that a little bit later. I don't know if Bet Online has it, but I would put money down that both quarterbacks take a snap in this game if Jimmy Garoppolo does start. We've got to check in with the injury report here for those 49ers. We did not have information the last time we recorded. Croc, yet another defensive back has COVID, and that is Diamador Lenore. And these late week COVID positives are not good. The 49ers could get back Jimmy Ward and Dante Johnson and Ambry Thomas, but some of the guys that have positive tests later in the week, they're not going to be able to play Sunday. So not only a little bit worried about the outside, you start to get a little bit worried about that nickel position as well. If there's no K1, if there's no Diamador Lenore, and there's no Dante Johnson, those are all the players that have taken slot snaps, right? And Jimmy Ward would be the other one, safety dropping down, and he's tested positive for COVID too. Who's playing in the slot, Croc, if some of those guys can't play?
Eric Crocker. I got my helmet ready. I'm ready to throw on the helmet. I'll paint it red and gold, and I'll get down there in the slot. I'll get up in the slot. No, that is an issue, but I think because of the way that the new COVID rules are, I don't even think they have to have a negative test. Right. I think they just have to say, hey, 5 days later, I have no symptoms. Yep. I'll go. And then they'll be able to suit up.
And I think a lot of players were getting tested on purpose early in the week. So if they did test positive, they could go through that process and the 5 days could pass and they would be available to play. So I have a feeling all those guys, Ward, Ambry Thomas, K'Wan Williams, Dante Johnson, they're all going to be ready to go. Oh, yeah. And then you throw Emmanuel Mosley, who's practicing, in on that. Emmanuel Mosley was, he's still practicing on the side. I haven't seen any confirmation that he's a full go yet late in the week, but he still has one more practice Friday to potentially get there. So that'd be huge for the 49ers to get Emmanuel Mosley back. And I think all those guys, you know, as long as they don't have symptoms and those symptoms are bad enough to keep them out or more positive tests, then they're going to be ready to play. And I think that's probably what's going to happen, much like it was with Mitch Wishnowsky last week. Aziz Alshaier still not practicing. We had some veteran days early in the week for Nick Bosa and Alex Mack. They were back to full participants Thursday. Elijah Mitchell did not practice Wednesday. Then, as expected, you know, getting days off because of his knee, but he's back to limited on Thursday. He'll either be limited or full practice Friday, and I think Elijah Mitchell will be able to go again. Trent Williams dealing with an elbow, not practicing. Kyle Shanahan, though, thinks that he's going to be ready to go, and that's not a worry. Jimmy G is still limited. Does Jimmy have to get a full practice in? Or you think he can just kind of warm up every day and then on Sunday be like, cool, I'm ready to go?
Yeah, he don't need no practice. Okay. I mean, especially this late in the season. Matter of fact, this late in the season, they're not really practicing anyways. I mean, you know, they do a little things up-tempo barely. But, you know, right now everybody's just trying to make it through the week healthy and hopefully prepare for a playoff run.
See, that's interesting because Jimmy's been limited all week, but Kyle Shanahan said Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance have been splitting reps. I call BS on that. Do you think Shanahan's trying to pull one over, or do you think they're getting reps in limited periods and then maybe in the faster paced periods that it's just Trey Lance? Because if he's limited and Trey's full, there's something Trey's doing that Jimmy's not doing, right?
Well, I do believe that Kyle Shanahan wants Jimmy Garoppolo to play, but he wants to know that, hey, you can go through everything that we need you to go through in the game and be able to play with whatever's going on with your thumb. Now, there is a little – I think there's some context needed with this whole thumb situation. I think most people, when you think of him being 100%, I think they're assuming no pain, thumb is perfectly fine. I don't, that's not the way I see it. The way I see it is you just need 100% function of the thumb. I think the pain is going to be there. So if it's pain, you know how when you go to a doctor, the way I described it earlier, you know, you go to a doctor, if you've ever hurt your shoulder and they actually lift your shoulder and they ask you how, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the pain you feel, right? And you're lifting it up and you're like, ah, it's a 10, or, you know, it hurts so bad, but you're able to lift your shoulder all the way up. You have full function in it. It's just pain. And that's just a tolerance thing. Now, if he tells you on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, and you're lifting it and you can't get it past here, that's totally different. When it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, if he has fully function, if he can grip the football, if he can throw it, but it's painful and that's why he's not 100%, they'll shoot that thing up and he won't have any issues. And I think Kyle Shanahan just wants to see, will he get to at least that point? And if so, that's when I think you'll see him play and he'll be just fine.
Yeah, as we're seeing with the whole Antonio Brown thing too with the Buccaneers, and you know, we know this from the NFL, NFL 100%, NFL passing a physical, NFL like you're ready to play is much different than the me or you ready to play. Stuff right. That would put me out for weeks. NFL guys are going out and playing full games and they're ready to go. Croc, you got him hyped talking about comeback season for Eric Crocker in the NFL. Mike said, I heard Josh Norman's going to start carrying his own flag so the refs can save some energy. Come on, that's just not nice. That's
funny. That would be me if I had to suit up, man. I'd have the flags ready because I'm grabbing everybody. I can't run with anyone anymore.
You would just get up in their grill and hopefully not let them off the line, because if they get off the line, it might be trouble, huh?
Out of respect for Norman, I wouldn't look like Norman. We're the same age, though. We're both 34 years old. But it would be worse. It would be worse for sure.
Would you have better swag than Norman?
You know what? Norman's swag actually isn't that bad. Throughout his career, he's been solid. There was one point, I think when he was in Washington, he wore this crazy-looking face mask. I was like, well, what are you doing, bro? But aside from that, like, he's cool. He's cool. I have no complaints with how he looks on the field.
Crocs Island. What about like in a cover three? You know,
I can run some cover three.
Style cover three. Yeah, use that mind of yours.
Not Sherman. I can't run with Sherman's cover three though. Now this, and this is a misconception with people when they hear like cover three, Seattle three, and all that. There are some sky concepts in that, but the one thing that made Seattle really good with their scheme was they ran a lot of kind of like a little bit more fire zone. I don't want to misspeak on what they were doing, but what it looked like to me, more fire zone stuff. So if you just go back and look at Seattle and how they played their defense, they were pressed up a lot of times. And a lot of times in those fire zones, you are responsible for vertically pushing routes. Now, the cover three part is, you know, if a guy dives in right now on like a China route, then you don't have to like squeeze that. You can kind of drop off to a zone and you can let your linebackers kind of carry some in-breaking routes. But anything like vertically pushing to outside and down the field, a lot of times they had to run with that. So, no, I would not be able to do that. Now, Tampa 2, that, you know, the Buccaneers in the early 2000s made popular, I definitely could play that.
Okay. Andre Barber style.
Yeah.
Croc, they want to know what your current 40 time would be. What was your best 40 time first, and what do you think your current 40 time would be?
Okay, so the best 40 time I've ever been clocked at was a 4.46, but I think it was fake. Well, it was fake because we ran on the track. We actually raced against each other. So that kind of boosted, you know what I'm saying? But like, as far as like the NFL timing, it's crazy. This is how weird these 40 times are. My first time running for the NFL, I ran for the New Orleans Saints. I had a private workout with them. And a safety, Chad Jones, he had a big accident. He was a safety. He was like a second round draft pick. It got hurt like right after draft day, so he never really played. But anyways, we had a workout with the Saints. I ran a 4.71, right? The guy said, we really like the way you moved. You like your ball skills and everything. All that was terrific. You got to work on your 40 time, but we'll bring you into rookie minicamp. I went home. I trained for my 40 for 3 days, each day, 1 hour. I went, worked out for the Philadelphia Eagles, ran a 4.57. And then 2 weeks later, I flew out, worked out for the Jets, and ran a 4.53. So I think if I really trained for it and got like, you know, strengthened all the muscles that need to be strengthened, I probably could be like 4.49, but combine time, probably like 4.55. I wasn't a speedster.
Was it the start? Was it the stride? What was holding you back when you
definitely the start? There's a, there's a lot of explosiveness that goes into the start. And then after your drive phase, being able to like have the core strength to hold that stride, I had to improve that as well.
Believe it or not, I had some speed back in my day, but I think it was an itchy trigger finger. One of my buddies, when we were running 40s, he had me at 4.56. I don't know how legit that was, but I was the Ed McCaffrey of basically sandlot football, because my actual football career was not great.
Yeah, you got that stride, man. You got that stride.
Some size and some speed and some stride, but my start and my short area quicks were not great. Not great. All right, we've got to move along here. We're going to make our predictions. We're going to get deeper into this chat. Appreciate everybody who's jumped on with us live here on this late Thursday evening live stream, Friday morning for those of you that are in your car on your way to work, getting hyped for week 18 and the regular season finale. More coming up. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit, eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it, unlike other protein bars that can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill in some cases. Now, you want to eat healthy, but sometimes it gets super boring. By week 3, you might be feeling that right now. We're getting into the second week of January here for week 18. This is uncharted territory for NFL fans in week 18 in the second week of January. And you start to get bored with this healthy food you started eating at the new year. You're like, where's the chocolate? Well, guess what? Built Bars covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars contain only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar, but have a whopping 17 grams of protein. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. An incredible app everybody out there needs to know about, especially those of you who get gas, which is, I'm sure, a lot of you listening to this podcast in your car. Every time you fill up, you can get cash back with the Get Upside app. Just download the free Get Upside app at the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and you can get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up to go with the 25 cents per gallon you can already get back with Get Upside. So that's up to 50 cents cash back on your first tank. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. It's super easy. Download the app. You find the gas station you want to go to, claim your bonus cash back, and then go fill up your tank, and that's it. That cash goes right into your account. There's no catch, right into your account that you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, an e-gift card, wherever you want to go with that cash that you earn. You get it with the free Get Upside app. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That is promo code TOUCHDOWN with the Get Upside app. Oh, you know what? I want to get to this. This is something we saw a lot about this week, because there was that troll account that was talking about Jerry Rice's 4.7 40, 4.71, by the way, which was Crocky's first 40. And I want to talk about this. And it was a fake thing, and everyone got mad at this guy because he was talking about how Rice wouldn't be good in this day and age. Rice's 4.7 slow 40 time that everyone's been talking about for years, people talking about on telecasts all the time, media members, as if it's a real thing. There's no evidence of this slow 40 time. Jerry Rice was not slow on the field or in the 40. Bill Walsh is on record talking about having Jerry Rice on his hand time in the 4.5s. Gil Brandt, longtime scout with the Cowboys, who the Niners traded up to get Rice in front of in that draft, he had Jerry Rice in 4.5s. There were some other coaches and scouts that had Jerry Rice in 4.4s. And that's Jerry Rice coming from Mississippi Valley State, who did not train for the 40 like guys do now. Jerry Rice was not slow, not ever, not in the 40, not on the football field. Can we stop with the Jerry Rice was ever in his life slow? Today, Jerry Rice would come here in here and probably blow both of us away, Crocky.
Yeah, he still moves well. He moves a lot better than I do right now. Now, Jerry Rice, you know, you want to know if somebody's fast. Just look and see if they've gotten caught from behind. And there's several times where Jerry Rice just opens up that stride and outruns people. Again, was he like just this pure burner? No. But he definitely was plenty fast enough with how he was able to win over the top and just outrun people. I mean, they created a yards after catch stat for Jerry Rice because of what he was doing. So yeah, that 40-yard dash stuff, it never made much sense to me either.
It's like this weird myth that grows and grows, and everyone talks about Jerry Rice and this slow 40 time. And I don't know, maybe someday someone got him on a watch and thought he ran slow. But man, if it was a combine back then, he would have been 4.5s, maybe 4.4s, whatever. And yeah, but there's not even evidence of this. It's like the Deion thing. Remember Deion's like 4.17 or something, and he ran it like barefoot or whatever the hell the story is. Like people love these stories and they keep it, like they grow and grow and grow. And it's like where's the evidence of any of this stuff actually?
Deion didn't warm up. They asked him, and I guess he just came in, ran his 40, ran through the tunnel. And was just like, nah. And they asked him why he didn't stretch. He said, does a lion stretch before the Texas prey? So Deion ran his 40,
right?
Yeah, he ran his 3.940 flat and just was like, I'm done.
Oh, man. I wish we had more electronic times for the guys back in the day so we could see how real some of those were. Because, I mean, Deion's the fastest football player I've ever seen. So I wouldn't be shocked if he way faster than what was Chris Johnson was 4.24, right? And yeah, John fast. Ross was 4.22. That's the record, 4.22 right now. So if Deion was 4.17, I believe it.
Listen, this is how fast Deion Sanders is. Dom Beebe, speedster, right? I mean, he was like a legit 4.2 type guy. And there's a video of this. I actually I posted this video to Twitter because it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I feel like it should get acknowledged more. Dom Beebe was returning a kick or a punt. And I don't even know what Deion Sanders was doing running down. But Deion Sanders missed the tackle, like was running at him, missed the tackle. Dom Beebe, full stride, hit it. Boom, he's gone, 4.2 speed. Deion turns around and just runs him down. It's the most incredible display of athleticism that I have ever seen. I mean, just amazing. So however fast they say Deion is, I believe it based off of that video. Never seen anything like it before.
All right, Croc, before we get super deep into the chat here, let's do some predictions. Let's talk a little bit more about the Rams, how the 49ers are going to beat these Rams, and get deeper into the chat, and maybe have a special guest join us tonight on this podcast. Official predictions, how do you think this one's going to go Sunday? 49ers, Rams, Niners were, I think, 5.5-point underdogs to start the week. That's closer to 4.5 now. How do you see this one going Sunday?
I'll let you go first.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I think the 49ers are going to come out, and I think they are going to punch the Rams right in the nose. Will that be enough to hold off the Rams when they come back? Because I think they're gonna make a run in this one. I don't expect to get free points on defense. I don't expect to get free points on special teams. The 49ers are gonna have to go out there and beat the Rams in this one. They might get an interception, but you can't go get a pick six and just have that free touchdown lead to start the game and then just run downhill. But the 49ers are gonna start to try to run through their face to start. And I think they can bully this team. They've proved they can do it. But the Rams have gotten a little bit more physical in their own right. I think that's what one of the keys. I think the 49ers game actually scared them a little bit. And I think the way they've run the ball since then, going more to Sony Michel, getting Cam Akers back now, I think they're going to try to take a little bit out of the 49ers handbook and be a little bit more bully. And they've been a little bit more physical since then. And I think their manhood got checked a little bit. And I think that'll probably be the pregame speech from Sean McVay, right? It was like, look, these guys beat us physically and embarrassed us in prime time. They're coming to our house. They're not going to do that. We're going to knock them out of the playoffs. So they're going to be up for this game. So the 49ers are going to try it, and let's see if they can do that. I think that's going to suppress points a little bit. I expect low points in the first half, things to get going in the second half. Can the 49ers thwart a comeback attempt if that indeed is the way things go? Give me 49ers 27, Rams 24.
You know, this game, it's been interesting. I think the thing that I'm holding on to the most is that Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay figured out. And I've never seen anything like it. Well, yes, I have. The dominance that Seattle has had over the 49ers is similar to that, where, you know, that's what I'm holding on to. Just the fact that Kyle owns McVay and he's just going to figure it out. But I'm also in this other weird space when you look at just this situation in totality, it's really a win or go home type scenario, especially when you look at who the Saints are playing. I have no faith in Atlanta beating the New Orleans Saints. And it kind of reminds me, and I don't want to get too X-rated here, but it reminds me of 19-year-old Eric Crocker and having unprotected sex. And you don't think, like, you know there's a possibility that you can have a kid, but you don't think that's going to happen to you. Then all of a sudden you get a text message, I'm pregnant. And it's like, wait, what? I actually am having a kid. I can't believe this. I didn't think this is something that really happened. And that's how I feel about this 49ers not playing next week. Like, to me, in my head, I've already accepted the fact, like, no, the 49ers are playing football next week. It's a playoff. They're playing in the playoffs. Right. But there is a scenario where, no, this is it. And it just doesn't seem like reality to me. All right. I'm intrigued by this matchup. I think the thing I'm holding on to most is 49ers just have owned Rams. But my mind, it doesn't like it. I've had this weird feeling. I've had this weird vibe throughout this week. And I can't quite put my finger on it. But if I had to just throw a score out there, I would say 49ers lose 31-24.
Oh, you're going to get that text message again, right,
Croc? From 49er fans, yeah.
Guess what, Crocky? You're a dad and no playoffs. Wow.
Yeah, man. Wow.
Yeah, you did make my face turn red there. I don't know if it's that or this Manhattan I got going, but I'm feeling good here. Let's keep this rocking with the chat. I want you guys to chime in how you think things are going to go Sunday. How do you think the 49ers can beat the Rams? Like, where's that weakness? What is the thing that's going to beat the Rams if the 49ers win? What is the thing that the 49ers won't be able to do if they lose this one? And I think we might have a special guest joining us on the pod, Croc, in segment number 3 coming up. But I want to let the folks out there know about betonline.ag. If you are feeling good about this 49ers team and you want to put some money on it, go to betonline.ag. You can find all of the best lines, props, odds, everything you need to have a happy new year of betting as we continue this march toward the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new upgraded desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use promo code LOCKEDON to get started. Not only football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for this 2022 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, it's that time. Let's bring on a very special guest. He was in the chat earlier. You know him. You love him. The 49ers. I would say he's 49ers Twitter. His very own, Jason Aponte.
Spicy Aponte.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Listen, before I went on here, I called my mom and I said, I think I made it. Like, I think I made it. Like, right now, like, I feel like this is the moment. I made it. Mom, I made it. To be on with the Locked On 49ers, gentlemen, this is incredible, man. And I've been enjoying. I don't know what I walked into because I kind of heard Croc halfway in talking about a text message that he got. And, you know, I'll go back and I'll listen, as I always do, to the audio portion. But it's great to be here with you, gentlemen. And I can't really describe how, you know, how thrilling this is for me.
Oh man, I appreciate it. We had our predictions, and Croc was trying to draw a correlation between the 49ers not being in the playoffs and him getting a text message that he was going to be a dad, and it was something that he did not expect to be happening. Do you expect to be getting any text messages on Monday morning, Jason, or do you think the 49ers will be in the playoffs next week?
About being a dad, no. About the 49ers being in the playoffs, yes, for sure, 100%. And here's what it is. Realistically, when I look at the way that Brandon Staley, Raheem Morris's defenses are and their philosophies, a lot of them are very much, hey, we're going to play too high. You can run the ball. We're not going to give anything up over our heads, right? But somehow that plays into exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan want to do. So I heard you guys talking a little bit about, well, Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. I think he owns their defensive philosophy. And for whatever reason, they don't really change that up too much. And it's just the way that they want to do it. It's the way, hey, we'll give up the run game to you. That's fine. We have enough on offense where we can outscore you. The problem is if the 49ers hold the ball for 11 minutes, 12 minutes per drive as they have, and out physical them, because there is a tendency for the Rams to kind of take their ball and go home a little bit when they kind of get punched in the mouth. They really don't. That's not their style of game. And when you look at their record against winning teams and teams that have winning records, doesn't really look the same as it does, right? Like, they can pound on the Jacksonville Jaguars all they want, but when they're faced with a challenge, they kind of fold up a little bit and go home, right? So in terms of the 49ers owning the Rams, I just really believe that their defensive philosophy lends itself to exactly what the 49ers want to do, especially if you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo being the starter. So I've got the 49ers winning this game, and I've got them winning this game the same way that they won it five times in a row, four times with Jimmy Garoppolo, one time with Nick Mullins, is we're going to out-physical you, and we are going to impose our will and live in the places that we want to live. Unless the Rams drastically change the way that they've been playing the defense, then I don't really foresee any changes unless the 49ers aren't as efficient on offense as they usually are against the Rams.
And I don't see them changing their defense. You know, Raheem Morris, when he got to L.A. and was the defense coordinator, they made him keep the philosophy that Brandon Staley used. So this isn't even technically Raheem Morris's scheme. It's like they brought in a coordinator, was like, hey, we love you as a coach, but we want you to run this guy's plays. We want you to teach his scheme. And for whatever reason, the 49ers have done a terrific job against that type of scheme. And it was fairly similar even with Wade Phillips there. They ran a lot of too high. They ran a lot of, off coverage with the outside guys. They continued that with Staley. They're continuing that with Morris. And it does seem like Kyle Shanahan definitely has that scheme's number for whatever reason.
The stars and scrubs lineup that the Rams have is really, I think it's a good way to build a team in some cases, but I think against Kyle Shanahan, it's the worst type of defense to have, because Kyle Shanahan is so good at using what your rules are as a defense against you. And that means he finds out where the rules are going to be in his favor. And that's not going at Aaron Donald. That's not throwing at whichever guy Jalen Ramsey is going to be covering one-on-one. So in a lot of ways, I think it's a more difficult matchup for the Rams than most other teams. And I think Kyle Shanahan knows what Sean McVay is trying to do. And I think that helps the 49ers defense as well. So I think there is a lot to the Shanahan versus McVay thing. And there's a reason why he's got his number. But it's so hard to beat a team twice. And if the 49ers beat the Rams, they might have to play them again and stay in LA and try to beat them a third time, which is nearly impossible. So this is going to be a wild couple of weeks if the 49ers win this and have to play the Rams again, or they got to go play Tom Brady and we get Brady versus Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
The AB list Bucks.
Yeah, the AB list Bucks, the Godwin-less Bucks.
Maybe Levante David.
Yeah, they're in a rough spot right now. You might want to play that team. You never want to say, hey, I want to go play against the GOAT, but they might be the team you want to play the most in the first round of the playoffs. And I don't think you want to try to beat the Rams three times in a row, but I think the 49ers can beat the Rams two times in a row. They've done it before. And I'm glad you brought up the Nick Mullins game. We hadn't really talked about that much at all. And I mean,
Nick Mullins,
it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback, right? Like, if it's Jimmy, if it's Trey Lance, the 49ers can go win this football game. They just can't kill themselves, right? That's a big part of this. They just can't beat them.
Is it as simple as Kyle Shanahan just knowing McVay and everything that McVay wants to do and how he thinks? Because, you know, when I'm playing Madden against my big brother, I know exactly how my brother wants to play. I know what he wants to do on certain downs. I know in certain formations, I know exactly what play he's using. Do you think that's kind of what's going on between Shanahan and McVay, just truly knowing each other? And it's harder for McVay because Kyle is kind of the master while McVay is more of the sensei. Like, he's the guy underneath him. He's not the sensei, but he's like the student or the pupil, whatever they call it. He's kind of that guy, right? Where it's like, I learned from him, but Kyle's like, haha, I did not teach you everything, right? And Kyle has been able to use that against him and go to his coordinators and say, hey, these are the things that he wants to do. And if the 49ers have the guys out there, they're able to execute. Now, we did see early on, I believe in the first year, McVay won those matchups. But I feel like since then, Kyle Shanahan has won like every single one. And that's very interesting.
You know, what I find funny is it feels like McVay's pressing a little. And what I mean by that is the fake field goal and having to make plays. And he's it's in his head a little bit. It really is. It is at certain points. And when the 49ers are doing what they're doing, and I'll point back to the Monday Night Football game. Elijah Mitchell didn't necessarily have an efficient game running the ball, right? 27 for 91. That's like three per. That's not really where you want to be as a running back. You want to be in that four plus. But what the 49ers did so well in that game was they were on schedule in terms of downs, right? You want to put Jimmy Garoppolo in a spot where, hey, if you want to convert a third down, it's third and three. You know what? If you want to run the ball on third and three and you get two, then you run the quarterback sneak and you get it and you continue to chew the clock. So it's more about what they know they can do and accomplish against this defense and knowing what you can't test. Right? Like Kyle doesn't go into this game saying, hey, we're just going to throw the ball at Jalen Ramsey a bunch, or we're going to drop back a bunch while we let Aaron Donald try to go up against Brunskill and Compton. It's more about run right at those guys. And if you're on schedule and you are doing what you can do and you're executing your game plan, it becomes very hard to beat. And I will go back to mindset when it comes to the Rams as well, too. McVay is like, it's almost like that water boy stuff, right? Like I hate to make the same comparison. Like when the guy with the green notebook gives it up and he's looking at the other guy and he kind of locks up. That's kind of where we're at right now with McVay and Kyle Shanahan on the other side, right? So if Kyle is rolling and his offense is not turning the ball over, not putting Jimmy in spots where it's like third and nine, third and 10, third and 12, which is not where you want to be with any quarterback, realistically, it's realistically the 49ers world and they've got to kind of deal with it. And it's the only reason that I really, you know, point to that is that we're at five games, and four of them with Jimmy Garoppolo, one with Nick Mullins. It's realistically what they want to do and how they've been doing it. It doesn't really matter the quarterback. I think it's more about Kyle knows what he wants to do and try and stop us. There you go.
James says, I always think of the water boy with McVay has the notebook but did not come up with the plays. Kyle is the real playmaker.
There you go.
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. Like, McVay's a really good coach. You know,
he is.
Styles make fights, and for whatever reason, Kyle Shanahan's teams have had Sean McVay's team's numbers, and that continued when it went from Goff to Matthew Stafford. And Stafford's been throwing a ton of interceptions, did to the 49ers the first time, has been on just about every game since, and so the 49ers are going to need some more of that, just being a little bit – I think maybe there's a certain amount of Matthew Stafford thinks he can make throws that 2009 Matthew Stafford could, but he can't quite make those throws anymore because there's some head scratching stuff. It's like, where are you going with this? What are you trying to do? You're throwing into triple coverage. Like that can't make Sean McVay happy. What do you make of the Stafford, I don't want to call him meltdowns, but just he's throwing the ball to the other team too much. And he did the 49ers and really put his own team in a hole. And he's been doing it numerous times. Why do you think that is, Jason?
You know, that's a real head scratcher. And that's what I'm talking about with teams that are winning teams. They're going to capitalize on those things and not let you come back. The only reason they beat the Ravens this past week was because Lamar Jackson wasn't healthy. And nothing to take away from Tyler Huntley because he's played very well. But I don't know what it is. It's Matthew Stafford is the king of these throws that you look and you say, man, I can't believe he just made that throw. And then sometimes you're like, what on earth were you looking at? And I don't know what it is. He rushes his process. Sometimes he's not seeing the field as well. But winning teams capitalize on that. If he gives the 49ers one or two of those, then they're in trouble. And they're not equipped to come from behind, especially considering the gap that we have right now in terms of the 49ers dominating them. Like if the 49ers are able to do what they did in Monday Night Football, which was first drive, come out 11 minutes, now you've got to do something. Matthew Stafford throws an interception. The 49ers go back and score again. Then he throws another interception. They're down 17-0. That's not how they want to play. And that's not how anybody can really play realistically. But this Rams team, for whatever reason, when things are not going well, they snowball. So I think the 49ers, for all intents and purposes, just really have to play their game and play their this is why Jimmy Ward is so important, in my opinion. This is why he needs to be back in this game, because leader of the defense, understands coverages, and he's so versatile. Cooper Kupp got many of his yards in that Monday Night Football game when the game didn't matter. But when it mattered, you know, I don't know what it is about what goes on with the Rams, but they always seem to play their worst games against the 49ers. And what I mean by that is, even when Jared Goff was there, Cooper Kupp would drop passes. He dropped passes in this game. The team misses blocks. Like, I don't know what it is, and there's no way to quantify that, right? Like, that's not me trying to be smart or anything like that, because I have no idea why that happens. But the 49ers, realistically, all they have to do is stick to what they've been doing. They seem to have the formula against the defensive fronts that they see and the scheme that they see, and they should be fine as long as they don't turn the ball over. Now, that begs the question, can the quarterback not turn the ball over, be efficient, hit those third downs, hit those fourth downs? Remember, that Deebo touchdown was on fourth down, the one that pretty much sealed the game. That was on fourth down. Kyle ended the game on that. So then that goes back to who's the starter, what's the game plan, and I think that right now, it's hard to figure out who it is. I know I heard you guys' predictions, but I really have no grasp on what's happening right now. And I think that Kyle likes it that way.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty big. The third downs is key. Like, if the 49ers can be efficient, run the ball, and they can win the game without those turnovers from Stafford. But, you know, it would help to have some of those go your big throws. That's why I was talking about getting Trey Lance in there, even if he doesn't start. Can you, before we let you go and before we end this pod, I don't know if you guys want to hang out a little bit for some overtime here, but we've got to end the regular portion of this podcast. Jason, can you split the tie between me and Croc? He's going to be all Jimmy Garoppolo. I think even if Jimmy Garoppolo starts, we're going to see Trey Lance. So either Trey Lance is going to start or Trey Lance is going to be in this football game. What do you think? Who's playing quarterback for your San Francisco 49ers Sunday?
There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure, just like it is on Kyle Shanahan to make the right decision here. There's a lot of pressure on whoever's the quarterback to get it done, like right now, right? But I don't think we see the two quarterback thing. I just don't. And the only reason that I don't is that Kyle is so steadfast on my play calling, I can't, back and forth. And I think he wants to prove a lot of people wrong in terms of, you know, the people that are asking questions about, hey, you should use the two quarterbacks. Well, you're not me, and I get to do what I want. So I'm just going to say that I don't think we see the two quarterback thing. And I also get afraid of the idea of, hey, let's say you start Jimmy Garoppolo, and let's say the game doesn't start to go the way that you want. Don't put Trey Lance in any sort of position where he has to come in and like save your season, because I feel like that's also detrimental as well. But I feel like one way or another, Kyle's going to make his bet and he's just going to stay with his decision. And that's not based on, you know, me disagreeing with, you know, you, Brian. It's just more about Kyle's rigid. And the one thing he's been consistent on and the entire time is just Jimmy's our starter if he's healthy and he's the guy we're going to roll with. So I'll just lean on that.
Yeah, Jason, I didn't bring you on this podcast.
I know.
Okay. You're supposed to be on my side. I brought you in here. That's all right. You can agree.
Sorry, bro.
That's okay. You can agree with Croc. Jason, tell the listeners out there where they can find you, where they can find your YouTube channel.
Well, first of all, guys, thank you for this. I joked earlier about making it, like, I really look up to you guys, and this was a huge thrill to be on with you guys. I promise you, I'm not even, like, you know, joking in any way. But, you know, you guys can find me on Twitter at Jason Aponte 2103, on YouTube at Jason Aponte. Call me Mr. 5K on YouTube right now. Thank God. You know, I appreciate that. Just a thrill to be on with you gentlemen, man. I look up to you guys. You guys are guys that inspire me to continue to grow, and I hope to be you guys one day.
I appreciate those kind words, Jason. If you want to stick around and hang out with us, we're going to get into the chat here. So those of you in the chat, stick around. We're going to hang out a little bit, go overtime with you. For those of you listening on the audio only pods, appreciate you. Thanks for making us your first listen every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. For your second listen, you can find me doing the Peacock and Williamson NFL show daily. You can find Croc doing the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Go check out Jason Aponte on Twitter at Jason Aponte 2103. We're going to have to find out what those numbers mean in just a minute here.
And, it's my burner, like Croc says.
And his Jason Aponte YouTube page as well, talking about these 49ers. Croc and I back post-game, post-regular season finale. The playoffs start now. Be back next time right here. Locked On 49ers.
Same old sorry ass man.
So long.